Don't make anybody happy.
John DePietro on 1540 WADK.
Mr. DePietro, who is in the eye of the storm.
Suddenly, John DePietro became the story.
Radio talk show host John DePietro.
Is Providence crime town?
Most definitely.
Most definitely is exactly right. Folks, good afternoon on this beautiful... We've made it to August. August 1st, it's a gorgeous Tuesday afternoon. And joining us, first of all, our phone number, 846-1028. It is John DePietro Afternoons, 1 to 5, right here, AM 1540, WADK. You can always listen online at WADK.com. You can also, if you have a smartphone, you can listen with the radio app, which is the TuneIn or simple radio app, and it's free. Just search WADK, and the same thing with Alexa. If you have Alexa, just say, Alexa, go to WADK, and it comes in crystal clear audio. Well, joining us right now, he is the managing editor, as I said, of Ocean State Current. We want to welcome to the program again our friend Justin Katz. Good afternoon, Justin.
Good afternoon.
You know, Justin, very interesting now, after all the drama of the hugs and handshakes and all this whole standoff back and forth, it would appear that this little mini-series of the month of July, the drama up on Smith Hill, it would seem that it has kind of now come to a close with this budget standoff.
Oh, yeah. We've come to the end, and it's almost like a series with a terrible season closer. The whole compromise now is that they're going to study in a few years the effects of the car tax elimination, and that was what all of this hoopla was about. Was over that. It's kind of hard to believe, but it is a little bit of a letdown, and frankly, it's kind of a letdown to know that we're all going to have to pay attention again in September when they all come back to continue their antics.
When you say it's a little hard to believe, I agree with you that somehow it sounds like we're never going to get the full story. There's a lot of various theories out there, but at no point, despite of all of this, there is really nothing outside of the car tax. There's really nothing that they've put together that I would call, you know, with a lack of a better expression, but anything, you know, out of the box. I don't even want to use the word revolutionary, but I was mentioning earlier that merchants, retailers in Massachusetts, they want to put it on the ballot to drop the sales tax in Massachusetts from 6.25 to maybe even 4.5% or 5%. I mean, there's Rhode Island sitting there at 7%. It's to me, it's a little bit of the fiddling while Rome burns.
Oh yeah, that's this whole episode has been just very clarifying of how the process works and how petty it all is and inconsequential. I mean, we had no budget, you know, everybody's worrying at the city and town level because they weren't going to get their full funds and all this news coverage keeping the summer mildly interesting. And what it came down to was almost an inconsequential difference of opinion on a piece of legislation. It's just anybody watching this, without, you know, the cynicism of having normally watched this all, has to be just wondering what's going on in this state where we're having all this panic over whether we get a report on a tax policy that ultimately I think doesn't matter. In fact, to the degree that we're eliminating the car tax by relying on other taxes and increased revenue there, it's actually an economic loser.
Yeah.
So I mean the policy itself is kind of just silly, and to watch all these people who are running our state so worked up over this, and then the kind of the lack of transparency. I mean, I've sort of said in the past that if we're going to have a system where the two leaders of the chambers and the General Assembly make all the decisions, then you kind of have to let them talk without cameras in their faces.
But sure.
The whole idea that they had this caucus, the Democrat senators in Rhode Island had this caucus of 22, 23 people at a restaurant in Providence, and that's where they decided.
Hmm.
And they came out, and all the camera crews are waiting there, and all the reporters, what'd you decide? I mean, that's how democracy now works in Rhode Island, is the Democrat caucus goes into a closed meeting and just makes the decisions and comes out and announces it to the state. We decree that we will have a budget next week.
Hmm.
It's discouraging but clarifying, and hopefully enough people are paying attention to maybe start changing some minds, maybe.
Well, it is And again, I don't want to be negative, but it is a little bit of like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. When, I mean, last week, say what you want about Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, but Wisconsin landed Foxconn. They're going to build a $10 billion factory that they believe will then result in 13,000 jobs. I mean, there are some states, now granted, they moved to a right-to-work state, but there are some states that are really moving forward, that are embracing and making proper changes. Walker, boy, no one took more bows and arrows than he did from the, you know, organized labor and the rallies they had at the in Wisconsin and in at the state house. But it's hard to fathom, you know, we're there, all this bickering and backfighting and everything else over something as inconsequential of what they've resolved. When you do have people that are moving their states not only forward, Justin, but moving it forward in breakneck speed and adding jobs and just creating an atmosphere of being business friendly, that it almost seems, you know, like they're in a foreign land as opposed to just a state. You know, probably about, I'm not sure how far Wisconsin is. I know Illinois is about, what, a 15-hour ride, so right around there. But it's there are people that are making the proper changes in order to truly be business-friendly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know, whereas in Rhode Island we're stuck celebrating because after 10 years we finally, 1% growth in jobs in the state has finally reached what it was 10 years ago. That's our big celebration, is if we slow but sure 1% growth a year, you know, eventually, yeah, you're going to gain back the jobs you lost in a Great Recession and hope that you don't have a new recession. But there are states taking these bold steps and making actual decisions. They're having debates and heated debates sometimes about policy that actually matters. So when they have have these big fights in Wisconsin or wherever, especially over things like right to work, they actually come out with something at the end of it and say, hey, look, we made something, a big difference. I mean, but you didn't even have to go that far. If you look, what was it this week? I think it was, I saw Amazon having huge, job fairs.
Yes.
You know, people hired on the spot.
Yep.
And a good number of those jobs are right over the line in Fall River where
That's
they
right.
put their new warehouse. And Rhode Island, well, no, we don't do that here. We fret about small car tax changes and whether we have to report on the effects or not. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah, and that Amazon super warehouse that they have in Fall River that is truly incredible. When you think about it, that really should have been the cornerstone of the Providence waterfront, which is right now just a scrapyard. But you have rail service there. You obviously have the port service there. You have, the exit right off of 95. In many ways, the Port of Providence is a better match for Amazon than Fall River as far as, Boston and New York. But they did choose that. And I don't see, you didn't hear a lot about it. You didn't hear where the pitch fell short. Governor Mundo certainly, and I'm not saying it was her fault, because I think some of that, I don't remember exactly, could have been while Governor Chafee was still the governor. But you know, they were very aggressive towards GE and then were excited when they kind of got some crumbs of just 100 jobs thrown. But Amazon is the future, Justin. I mean, that is what you want to kind of build around. And there are states that are, in fact, reaching out and making that happen. I just don't see us having the type of leadership that is even leading in that direction.
Well, yeah, I the thing of it is I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not by any means an expert on these industries and their specific decisions, but it strikes me that a center like Amazon built in Fall River is much more concerned with the foundations of your economic policy, just the nuts and bolts of how things work. When you go after GE or like the Wexford thing that's going on in the 195 land, these are deals that you can essentially buy with taxpayer giveaways to the companies, and they're flashy and you can run around proclaiming them. Something like a giant center that's going to process all kinds of goods coming into the state, going out of the state, being moved around in trucks, which we'll be now told, and all that kind of thing. That's just foundation of your economics. And we don't have the leadership to say, we're not going to do the flashy thing. We're going to go. So on all these business rankings that we're at least average. And then the fact that we have water and air and highways and we're in the middle of the Northeast, then that will shine and people will come here because we're not – we're not always going after them. I mean, if you look this year, some of the legislation that's introduced, say new taxes on all petroleum products shipped into the state by water. You know, if you're Amazon and you're looking at, well, I could put this plant in Fall River or in Providence or thereabouts. And then you look at, and every year the General Assembly, whether they pass or not, is discussing these bills that who can we hit now? How can we find one more person to tax and one more thing to regulate? I would say that's a huge disincentive.
Yeah, or even Quonset. I mean, Quonset has the airport. So, I mean, I just see that as that, boy, that was a huge missed opportunity. And Amazon is one of those companies, Justin. They're only going to get bigger. Jeff Bezos, at one point, he went to bed. He was the richest man in the world. He went to bed. He woke up, and he had lost $5 billion. But I think he's still a player. I don't think it was one of those things that ruined his morning. But Amazon, to me, when you're talking about, you know, Chafee, you like to, used to like to say meds and eds, or they all want to talk about innovation and out of the box, that is one of those companies to me to partner with. You know, the more I think of it, Quonset would have been another good one as far as you have port access, you have rail service, you have airport there, and then again, easy between Boston and New York. I want to jump to something else, and this is, I don't hear anyone talking about it, and this is one of those things, Justin, and again, folks, it's John DePietro. We're speaking with the managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com. It's Justin Katz. Now, Governor Raimondo made a big deal. She even put out a video about her Governor's Bay Day this year, and it's free parking at the state beaches. Now, a couple years ago, under Governor Chafee, he was the one that raised the beach fees, and parking at the state beaches, I think at the time, was then $14, so it definitely had an impact. And so when you say it's going to be free parking at the beaches, well, parking at the beaches now for Rhode Island residents is only $6. So it doesn't have as much, you know, it's not as much of an attraction compared to when it was $14. But what I don't hear is, if you talk to anyone down by the beaches, and I talk with people, obviously, in both Newport and Narragansett, they'll tell you, you know, Tuesday is the slowest beach day of the week. So, to me, it's like you don't hear anyone say, why don't we make free parking for Rhode Island residents at the beaches on Tuesday? Or even bigger than that, if you talk with retailers and the seasonal people, they'll say that what has really also hurt their business is this business of going back to school before Labor Day. Because when kids went to school after Labor Day, a lot of people took their final vacation week, that final week of August leading into Labor Day, and then the kids went back that Wednesday. Well, now, I don't know about your children, but, you know, my kids or my child will now go back to school the last day of August or right around there. And I, you know, it could be a beautiful day, and it's down there, and instead of rentals, and instead of the beach areas being packed, they're empty, and we're a tourist destination. And those people, whether on Block Island or Newport, Narragansett, hey, they could use that last extra big plug of the final week, and the weather's gorgeous, but instead the kids are back at school. Even as a tourist state, my point is, I don't hear anyone adjusting to the fact that a lot of people depend on the seasonal business, and you have kids that then have to, a lot of the help have to leave to go back to school, so then it hurts them as well.
Well, certainly, but going into the education angle in Rhode Island is a whole other bag of worms. I mean, it's whether the kids should stay out later or go in earlier, or who knows. I mean, that's the complications of that politically start to get to be a big deal. What amazed me about the Bay Day thing is, I mean, you hear about it every year. It's I guess a long tradition to 1989 or thereabouts. But if you go on Google or any search engine and search for Governor's Bay Day, you'll find that the Associated Press story is being picked up in places like Kansas and states far, far away, which I don't quite understand. I guess if free parking is nice, but I don't know that you would take a plane from Kansas in order to take advantage of it. But
no.
It makes me wonder, actually, how much work the governor's office is using. I mean, it's many new promotions personnel to try to get this story nationally and get some attention for the governor that way. And, you know, obviously, as you mentioned, she has a video and she went out and chatted with people on the beaches, which I guess is okay. At least she was, you know, in professional attire, unlike a few years ago, she was wearing the sort of Manhattanite beachwear. This is a better look for her, I think.
Yeah. But again, I mean, all of that is fine, but I just don't see anyone leading it to the next level of saying, but how could we, if that gets a big response, why don't we reward the residents even more? And why don't we reward seniors that, you know, whatever, Tuesday and Wednesday, if you're a senior citizen, it's free parking. And so that's free to go. And so then maybe they get to go and bring their grandchildren. I don't see a lot of things that are then aimed at rewarding the residents compared to, just as an example, you know, if you're a Florida or a California resident, all the amusement parks there on the West Coast, whether you know it's Knott's Berry Farm or whether it's Disneyland, California residents, you know, they obviously get a big discount. Same thing with Florida residents. I don't see a lot of, quote, you know, lack of a better word, but perks for being a Rhode Island resident. It's like one Sunday a year they throw the people a bone and say, hey, free parking today. But what about the day? What if it rains? What if someone has a family reunion that day? What about all the other things? I don't think they truly are plugged in with the real people that are out there. But
And on that one, the one line from the governor that I heard, she said she told some interviewer on TV, you know, you shouldn't have to be rich to enjoy the beaches. And I'm thinking, so this is what you give us, you know?
Yeah.
If your premise is that parking prices the beaches out of reach of the average Rhode Islander, you give us one day. I mean, that's the solution to help the paupers down
right
here and on the waterfront. I thought it rang so true to, you know, her normal way of responding to the question.
Well, like even that. Hey, even in Christmas Carol, right? Ebenezer gave Christmas Day off for Cratchit, so that was the one day that he got to huddle with his family. We're going to ask Justin to hold on for just a moment. And, folks, we're going to come back and talk again. It's managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com, Justin Katz. Good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. I want to welcome all on Facebook Live. If you'd like to, you can listen and follow along on Facebook Live. Our producer is Rob Bennett. You just go to it's John DePietro Show on Facebook. Folks, everyone is always looking for a new place to try, and a place that maybe you haven't tried that I think you would like a lot. And everywhere I send, everyone I send there, they certainly love it. And it's Dan's Place. Dan's Place is your place. Great food, family-friendly atmosphere, award-winning wings, delicious burgers, and the best pizza you've ever tasted. There's always something happening at Dan's Place. Now, last night, they have trivia on Monday, 6:30, followed by karaoke at 9:30. Don't miss Wine Down Wednesdays tomorrow. What does that mean? It means half-price bottles of wine all day at Dan's Place. You can't go wrong there. And Thursdays, Mexican Day, with all your favorites, Friday and Saturday, and Thursday night, live entertainment. Dan's Place, 880 Victory Highway, West Greenwich. They're right off of Route 95. You just take exit 5A, and it's a friendly atmosphere. It is family-friendly. You're going to love Dan's Place. Dan's Place, your place, great food, family-friendly atmosphere, award-winning wings and delicious burgers, and the best pizza you've ever tasted. It's Dan's Place. Stop in, 880 Victory Highway, West Greenwich. They're right off of Route 95. Just take exit 5A for Dan's Place. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Hello there to Amanda. Boom, boom, boom. That's right. High taxes should not be a perk. I exactly agree. And, folks, you can always email me, john@depietro.com. We're going to come right back and speak more. Justin Katz, Ocean State Current. We're going to talk to him about Governor Raimondo. New fundraising figures are in. She just continues. If the governor's – I think her biggest success is, in fact, being a fundraiser. Senator Reid also caught with an open mic. And Senator Sheldon Whitehouse continues to raise his profile as he could have a real race – next November for that Senate seat. It's John DePietro, and it's all ahead. Stay with us.
August 4th to 6th, the 2017 Newport Jazz Festival is happening at beautiful Fort Adams. Artists include The Roots, Audra Day, Branford Marsalis Quartet, Snarky Puppy, Hudson, and more. For tickets and event info, go to newportjazz.org.
The UK is the latest country to call for a complete ban on gas and diesel auto engines. Lawmakers there want the ban to go into effect in 2040, following similar plans announced this month in France. UK Environment Secretary Michael Gove says switching exclusively to electric vehicles is necessary to meet the government's air pollution and climate change targets. Two major car manufacturers, Volvo and Mini, have already moved in that direction.
Folks, you want clean water. You want to call Steve at Water Filter Company. Call today for a free consultation. We spoke with him just the other day.
Rhode Island Hatch, and that actually lists the contaminants that are in the water in like 12, 15 towns. Folks, how many there are, how many are over the guidelines that they have, and other contaminants that are not even listed. So, I mean, it's amazing what's out there. And just because you can't see it, taste it, or smell it doesn't mean it's not there. So it's just amazing. And the only way you have in life now to control your own water quality and make sure that it's safe, clean, and pure is to filter it yourself just before you use it.
Now, Steve, what's also I find interesting, and folks, again, we're speaking with Steve from Water Filter Company. You can call him for a free consultation, 294-2400. Steve, I saw one of my neighbors the other day, and they're bringing in the huge, I won't say the company, but bottled water, one of the huge jugs. I said to him, that thing's been sitting on a truck. It's filled with bacteria. You have no idea where it came from. There's nothing clean about that water. You don't even know the chemicals that are inside.
You're right about that. I mean, most bottled water, I don't know if it's got bacteria in it, but most water out there is just water that's put into a bottle. Most of it's reconstituted tap water. You know, my objection to it is several, and one of them is it's the only unregulated food source in the supermarket. You just don't have any idea when they put the water in the bottle.
That's right.
You don't even see people cleaning out the bottled water coolers before they dump the next bottle in.
No. That's right.
People are just going to drink it. So it's like, you know, I don't know. It's just, you know, people are pretty cavalier about their water quality, but it's fast changing because people are realizing it's a crazy world out there. And government is not in control of itself yet.
No.
It's controlling your water quality. So it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I would just suggest people get their own professional filter, these little things that you hang up your faucet or something in your refrigerator or these little, you know, little things like that. Or they make the water taste great, and they may do a little bit to knock down toxins. But if you really understand what it takes to get rid of contaminants in the water, they're pretty much toys.
Folks, call Steve at Water Filter Company today. It's a life changer. Wherever you're listening to the program or even those on Facebook Live, call for a free consultation, 294-2400. You want the E3 system. Now, not only did they install the water filter company, and again, you see them right there on Route 4 in North Kingstown, 294-2400, Water Filter Company. You're talking about clean drinking water, the food you cook with, but on top of that, that E3 system, your clothes are going to smell cleaner. Your shower, your skin is going to improve. It's incredible every facet of inside your home and how much it depends on, when you think about it, pure, clean water. Now, again, Steve is exactly right. They allow a certain level of contamination in your water. It doesn't have to be that way. Wherever you're listening, call today. You don't want another Flint, Michigan, or in Woburn, where they had civil action. Call Steve at Water Filter Company, 294-2400. At least have them come out and give you a free consultation. And I'm telling you, it's a life changer for your home. 294-2400, 294-2400, especially those listening in Newport. Apparently, the story we're referring to appeared in the Newport Patch. Newport has the worst drinking water in the state, with the amount of contaminants. Call Water Filter Company of North Kingstown today, 294-2400.
Broadcasting from the far right on your AM dial at 1540, The John DePietro Show.
All right, and we're back. Folks, good afternoon. It is John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Here I am, AM 1540, and it's WADK. Our guest is the managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com. It's Justin Katz. You know, Justin, new numbers are out regarding Governor Raimondo, and people can argue about whether or not she has, in fact, been an effective governor, whether or not she's had the right people around her. But one area that this governor, without question, shines is the ability to fundraise. I'm going off Ted Nesi reporting in Channel 12 that apparently right now Governor Raimondo is sitting on a war chest of $2.6 million. It is something she's focused on. She is not afraid to do it. It is just an ongoing effort of a money machine in order to raise a stockpile of money for her reelection bid.
Oh yeah, and at this point, it's almost to the point that you have to take it almost as a way of intimidating potential opposition, particularly in primaries, where you just, anybody considering going up against her is going to have to look at that big wad of cash. And it becomes a political force, not just, I mean, campaign finances are supposed to be to help you get your word out. But at that level, it's really just saying, you know what, this is what you're up against. Don't mess with me, even if you think I've been terrible.
Yeah. And the clip she's going right now, which is somewhere between $300,000 to $400,000 a quarter, if she's sitting right now a little over $2.6 million, so you go a year from now, she certainly could actually be positioned to defend herself in a number one, if she has a primary, and though Bob Walsh, you know, came out and said help wanted ad, we need someone to run against her because of the veto of the Evergreen bill. Or if she doesn't, and then just in a general, you're talking about someone that, for starters, could have $4 million.
Oh, yeah. And keep in mind that this quarter was actually a majority of the money was from local sources, which was different, although it's about 48% versus 52. So 48% of all of this money she took in this quarter was from out of Rhode Island. Last time it was actually the large majority was from out of Rhode Island. So it's money taken in from out of state, people who are, I guess, are impressed by Associated Press articles about free beach days and that kind of thing. And it's just for re-election and then whatever she may be considering after that. But it's certainly not a local upshot of support for her, I don't think. It's more just a... It's been kind of the business of the governor's office and hiring people to do videos that are, they seem a little bit like, more increasingly they seem like public service announcements, but they're really just, you know, slick ads for her in a lot of ways. And so we're helping to pay for that, and that's helping her keep her resources up. If she had to hire all these techies to do, you know, YouTube videos out of her campaign funds, she'd be draining them every month instead of just adding to them nonstop.
I think it's interesting, Justin, that she still, despite all of that, she has a tricky reelection. Now, we haven't seen anyone. You and I follow this, I would argue, as close as anyone. I am still not hearing any name, Democrat now, that is serious about challenging her. I know maybe the progressives would like to trot someone out. Maybe they would, and it wouldn't be a serious challenger. But we have not, there does not seem to be anybody that is truly out there. You know, Bill Lynch is getting $4,000 a month from the Democrat Party to be a spokesperson. Now, I heard from someone, well, no, that goes to, he's tight with someone who, if they're not getting the money, then that person may jump in the race. So it's almost like a payoff to keep someone out. And I think that's interesting. It's a Pawtucket connection. But despite all of that, Justin, the fact that her poll numbers cannot seem to break above the, you know, she's been nowhere near 50%. I would argue it is closer to 40%, and that's with, you know, her name's on the signs and the NGA and Smartest Woman, and boy, they are relentless the way they try things. As far as, you know, someone came up to me in the grocery store and called me Gov. You know, she even changed her Twitter handle to Gov instead of Governor Gina Raimondo. So she, despite all of these things, I still see her as very beatable in a general election if the Republicans could come up with the right candidate.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We've talked before about how that large amount of money only goes so far in a small state. I mean, you can get your word out both by foot, you know, going around and actually meeting people in a small state, and also because it's a single media market. So it doesn't take a fortune to go up against an unpopular governor. And that's going to be the real challenge among the Republican candidates, is finding one who can bring a message that I think probably the message is going to be a comfort with a Republican to give people sort of permission for themselves to not vote for the Democrat. And that'll probably be a big factor, I think, in who wins the nomination for the governor on the GOP side.
I also think, and again, folks, we're speaking with Justin Katz, who's the managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. I also think, though, Justin, that despite no matter how much money you have, I think the Raimondo people run the risk of just overkill. And it doesn't matter. And what I mean is that 4 million that she may have, if people, she to me just has not resonated. There is not a lot of warmth towards her. I don't hear support for her. You don't hear a tremendous number of people coming forward and defending her. And I'm not saying, you know, there is, you could make the argument of the silent majority, and it does take someone to beat someone. But I think they could run up against, no matter how much money they have, that they just have a candidate that for whatever reason has never really clicked with the electorate and would still struggle to get to 45%. I believe the strongest amount of money that Governor Gina Raimondo would put in would be into that ground game. She locked on with the guy that him and his wife that worked for Cicilline. They do have that Providence First District voting list that is very obviously very, very valuable. And the vote totals in Providence, you know, you could take some of these surrounding communities where someone could do very well, and then the Providence number is just so overwhelming it kind of blows them out of the water. I think there's a cap to where Gina Raimondo, where it's just going to, you know, every time you turn on the TV for local news, there's going to be a Raimondo spot. I think people are going to go numb, but I think their biggest strategy is going to be that ground game. The get out the vote, the mail ballots, you know, Nelly Gorbea certainly did her a favor with the whole now you're automatically registered to vote if you, you know, sign up to get an EBT card or a driver's license. I think the Raimondo people, their path to victory is going to be on the street. I unless you tell me, but I don't see her as someone that will ever be at 55% or 60% approval rating.
Yeah, well, at some point, all the money starts to feel like, I don't know, something out of the 1980s where, you know, the superstar would have the big tour or the big video,
yep.
Michael Jackson or Madonna,
yes.
And all this money went into it, and it was all hype everywhere, and then it was crickets. You know, it was just a dud. If the product you're selling isn't worth buying, at some point, you can only promote it so much. What I'd watch out for, that, as you mentioned, trying to drive people to the polls, is more that might be the impetus for some of these giveaways, like the progressives and the free or the paid day off mandate,
yes.
That kind of thing, and a free college from Governor Raimondo, and you might see that and that push to say, you know, going back, you know, to the 80s again, you know, in the Batman movie with Jack Nicholson saying, money, 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 you know, who loves you? I'm the Joker. He's out here throwing money at you, and that could be one thing to watch for as the governor's race starts to come to a head.
I also think this whole business, and we're going to move on to some of our other officials, but I know a number of people still, and everywhere I go, people ask me, Justin, if I think former Governor Chafee is going to, if he's going to run, how would he run? My position has not changed. I think if he runs, he would run as an independent. He won as an independent. He was a Republican. He went independent. He got elected independent. As governor, he switched to become a Democrat, I think, to try to stop a challenger and try to get some support from the Democrat Party. It never really came. I just don't think he wants to face off against her in a primary. I know a number of people say, well, you know, the progressives could really help him in the Democrat Party, but all of the true Democrats, you know, whether it be Senator Reid, Whitehouse, Cicilline, they would all line up against him and be out campaigning for Raimondo. They do have the political machine. I'm going to stay with, if he runs, and I'm still not convinced he's going to run, but if he were to run, I would see him as running as an independent. He would, you know, really do it to try to hurt her on the progressive wing. I'm not sure how much he would hurt a Republican other than if he still had some popularity and support in Warwick, which is, you know, most of the time, if you don't win Warwick, you don't win Smith Hill as far as being governor. But any other pulse before I move on to something else that you have on former Governor Chafee?
No, you know, he's kind of a puzzling character to try to figure out.
Yeah.
I could see him running. She may be one target of her raising all the money, maybe to keep a character like him out of the race as a separate spoiler. But you could really see him as he did running for president, running for reasons having nothing to do with wanting to win. And so that may come to pass, and we'll get another one of these crazy multi-party races, or maybe he'll end up just fizzling. But I'd still put my chips on the square that says that he's mainly going to bring it up whenever he just wants a little FaceTime for whatever cause, and he'll do that until it's time to make a big decision, and then probably not run, particularly if there's somebody else running whom at least he can point to and say, oh, there's a third party candidate already. But we'll see. It's all speculation, and he's a difficult one to predict.
You know what's interesting about him, Justin, is Chafee. He's I'm not going to go as far as to say he gets the type of free publicity as Trump, but as much as people talk about money, boy, recently, every time Chafee's discovered, whenever he pops his head out of the hole, he was even upset about, just a piece that Mark Patinkin wrote, that he was praising Governor Raimondo, and, he wrote a piece to the Journal, why this was wrong and this was wrong. He recognizes he gets attention whenever he attacks her, but he's getting a lot of attention without spending any money. I just wonder how far that goes before he would, in fact, have to get some money. But as of right now, the thing that seems to keep former Governor Link Chafee alive is he every once in a while just pops out, takes some shots at her, and then he kind of like goes back into his hole, kind of like the gopher in Caddyshack. And then you have Bill Murray like chasing after him, and then then they have Bill Lynch kind of throw out a press release to attack him and knock him back. We're gonna take a quick break. Justin, hold on one moment, folks. Again, we're speaking with Justin Katz, managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com. And we are going to talk about some of our congressional people that certainly made some news. But I want to remind you, it's John DePietro on this Tuesday. You're looking for a great meal. I have the place, folks. Sam's Inn. Sam's Inn. Hi there, Nancy. Sam's Inn is calling your name. 2227 West Shore Road in Warwick. It's Sam's Inn. Call them at 737-6073. Sam Curry has done it again. Sam's Inn. Great meal. Everything is every meal cooked to order. It's farm to table at Sam's Inn. And remember, at Sam's Inn, the daily lunch special is just $6.95 and a free salad bar with any entree at Sam's Inn. Sam's Inn, you're going to love the menu, whether it's a delicious steak or maybe the tenderloin tips. They have great seafood, baked scrod, fried clams. They have delicious burgers. They also have pasta with meatballs or sausage. Great desserts, or maybe have a club sandwich or a lobster roll, or try one of their big stuffed quahogs. It's Sam's Inn. Everyone is raving about Sam's Inn. Good reason. Daily lunch special, just $6.95. And remember, when you walk into Sam's Inn, you have on the left-hand side is the lounge where they have live entertainment, and then you go into the dining room. Kimberly, her staff, they're so tremendous. They also have a private dining room that I've utilized. It's a great private party room. Sam's Inn. Stop in. You can call them at 737-6073 and also find them online at samsinri.com, located 2227 West Shore Road in Warwick. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Hey, coming up at 2 o'clock, we're going to speak White House advisor Dr. Sebastian Gorka. We're going to talk to him. Major developments with the situation with North Korea. We'll speak with you see him quite a bit on Fox News Channel, but Dr. Sebastian Gorka, White House senior advisor to the president, he's going to join me coming up at 2 o'clock. It's John DePietro. We're going to come back more with Justin Katz right after this.
What happens at the State House doesn't stay at the State House. It reaches into our pocketbooks, our schools, our highways, the air we breathe, and the water we drink.
That's why this Senate District 13 election on August 22nd is so important. And that's why AM 1540 WADK and What's Up Noop will present a live candidates forum on August 15th from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m.
We'll ask tough questions that will reveal important differences between the candidates and help you decide how you'll vote on August 22nd.
As informed voters, we can make a difference. Listen to the debate live on AM 1540 WADK, or catch your podcast later on whatsupnuke.com or WADK.com.
Sponsored by the Chad Kritsis team at Keller Williams Realty.
Chevrolet Bolt EV, America's affordable, fully electric crossover with 238 miles of range. The Bolt EV is as easy to charge as your cell phone. Paul Massey Chevrolet has over 80 Bolt EVs and is out to electrify Rhode Island with its exclusive one-price lease.
only $249 a month for 39 months with zero due at signing.
My Paul Massey ride.
Visit Paul Massey Chevrolet, your only true one-price Bolt EV dealer.
Folks, what an incredible vehicle. You just heard Michelle Massey say it. And it is the Chevrolet Bolt EV, available right now at Paul Massey Chevrolet, Route 44, Taunton Avenue in East Providence, the 2017 Motor Trend Car of the Year. Now, I drove this for a weekend. It is so fun to drive. It is incredible. And remember, no gas, all electric. How about that? $249 a month. And I was able to drive 270 miles on a full charge. Think about that. It is so quiet. It's fast. It is the first crossover. It's a mini SUV. It is a rocket right out of the box. You start it up. It's keyless. Rear camera, remote start. It is America's first fully electric crossover. No gas stops. It is the car has arrived. I felt like George Jetson. Drive electric. And by the way, the full charge cost $80. Cost $8. Let me ask you, how much would it cost you to fill your tank if you had to drive 270 miles? I don't think it would be $8. The Paul Massey Chevrolet Bolt EV. That's right. America's first electric crossover. Go gas free. No gas stops. Very low cost of ownership. And that's why it is the 2017 Motor Trend Car of the Year. The 2017 Chevrolet Bolt EV. Always online at paulmassey.com.
He tells it like it is. He's John DePietro on 1540 WABK.
All right, and we're back on this Tuesday. Again, Dr. Sebastian Gorka, advisor to President Trump, is going to join me coming up at 3 o'clock on this threatening situation with North Korea. But in the meantime, we're chatting with the managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com, Justin Katz. You know, Justin, it's Congressman Cicilline that normally gets a lot of headlines. It was very unusual to see our own Senator Jack Reed, who to me is kind of in a different category, just a true statesman, obviously highly respected with his military knowledge. He was a consultant to President Obama on foreign affairs as far as Iraq and Afghanistan. And Senator Reed caught himself in a little bit of an open mic. But I did find it funny that even in a moment of an open mic, think of how Senator Reed was caught in, quote, the open mic speaking with Senator Susan Collins compared to former communications director Anthony Scaramucci, who went on the record with New Yorker magazine.
Oh, yeah. Well, what I liked about the Reed open mic was it's just because he is, you know, a respectable senator type. It shows the frustration that the insiders have with the way things are going. They can't believe it. You know, these people don't understand our refined rules, you know, and he's commiserating with a Republican and talking about how Trump is crazy and House Republicans are crazy. And I kind of like the idea that these stodgy senators have that kind of nervousness.
Yeah. I know the Journal did an editorial saying, you know, adults, and hopefully he wasn't meaning that his mental state is crazy. Senator Reed really didn't apologize for it, but it was kind of comical. Just that was the first time. Normally, anytime you hear Senator Jack Reed, it's, you know, he does pop up on Meet the Press or some of the cable news channels. And again, highly, highly, highly respected. This is someone to me that, you know, it's certainly found a way to connect with the people. It's an interesting dynamic for me to see. I was in Washington traveling back just a couple weeks ago. I saw Senator Reed. I wasn't even sure it was him because he was just quietly sitting there alone at the terminal doing a crossword puzzle where, you know, you see some of these other Washington types. The moment they, you know, enter a restaurant or travel somewhere, they're surrounded by their entourage of aides. But it's interesting to me that Governor Raimondo, who seemingly has just completely failed to connect with the voters despite her intelligence, with Senator Reed, who, again, not the most flamboyant, exciting guy, people just seem to have a completely different feel for him. And lastly, now, Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, he's definitely starting to raise his profile. We know that Bobby Nardolillo has announced he's going to run. Flanders You know, I think we're going to hear something after Labor Day. But Senator Whitehouse is certainly making attempts to raise his profile. And I'd be curious, Justin, as their internals, because Senator Whitehouse, you know, he was elected in 2006, and this would be his that was the first term that he was elected in 12. But he is not someone that, to me, has ever been wildly popular. He's another one, hasn't fully connected, very progressive. Definitely the liberals love him, and he goes on with Rachel Maddow, and she'll say she has a crush on him. But I think we're going to continue to see him try to raise his profile, because I think in this next election cycle next year, they're not taking anything for granted.
Yeah, and well, obviously Senator Whitehouse is well positioned on the subcommittee, Judiciary subcommittee, looking into Russian scandals and terrorism and such. So he's in a good position to get a lot of face time. But what's interesting is his sort of approach. If you look at what he's been doing, he went to the American Enterprise Institute, which is conservative. He was trying to sell a carbon tax, but he went there, you know. And he recently heard somewhere he complimented the appointment of General Kelly as the chief of staff in the White House, in Trump's White House. And he was also got some attention for actually asking about Fusion GPS, which is may have bought the dossier of dirt on Trump, and is basically a Democrat research group, opposition research. So he's been almost deliberately, it seems, trying to look like a guy who works across the aisle. And wants, he's far left, that can't be doubted, but he wants to go to the Enterprise Institute and at least try to talk to people. And, you know, it's all well and good to seem bipartisan when you're out of power. But
sure.
Where was this guy for 8 years under Obama? And what he was doing was going on the floor, what Senator Whitehouse was doing was going on the floor of the Senate talking about how the Tea Party people are crazy kooks. So he was a bulldog for years, and now suddenly it's well, let's kind of reach across the aisle and be somewhat friendly.
Mr.
And
Statesman.
I don't know. Yeah, and in this era of the internet and everything being recorded, I don't know that he gets away with that if he faces a credible alternative from somebody who say like Judge Flanders who would be able to raise some money, as he's already shown, and would also be a respectable guy that you can't just dismiss out of hand. I don't know that the faint a little bit toward the right, if that's what this is, I don't know that it'll help Senator Whitehouse in the long run.
Folks, he is the managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com. It's Justin Katz. Justin, great as always, and we'll talk to you again.
Great. Look forward to it.
All right. Folks, it's John DePietro. Again, our phone number is 846-1028, 846-1028. You can always email me, john@depietro.com. Now, North Korea, they are demonstrating that they could actually now reach some major cities. We're going to speak with Dr. Sebastian Gorka, special advisor to President Trump, coming up next hour. In the meantime, I want to remind you about Mega Disposal, local family-owned and operated trash and recycling collection company. They've been serving Rhode Island and Massachusetts for almost two decades. You own a small business? Call Mega for all your trash and recycling collection services. They have various sizes for estate cleanouts, major construction jobs, entire households. Hey, a swing door. Provide easy loading of materials. And Mega has smaller containers for local businesses or shops emptied on a weekly, every other week, or monthly basis. Now, if you're moving, let's get that dumpster in the driveway, right? What's better? Now is the time. So many people, when you're going to move, that's the time you want to empty out, get that dumpster in the driveway. Mega Disposal, they work like that. And they'll pick the right size that's going to make sense for you. When you have a dumpster in the driveway, it is so much easier to clean out your basement, your home, whatever it may be. You're not going to move it to your new place if it's just stuff you're not going to use. Call Mega Disposal. They'll work out the delivery, and then they'll remove it and just work out the schedule. But they're the experts. They'll tell you exactly the size that you need. It's Mega Disposal. They're just terrific, folks. 866-420-MEGA. 866-420-6342. Their staff will help you select the right size for your project. And, again, if you're a local business or a shop, they could work out a schedule where they could empty you out on a weekly, every other week, or monthly basis. call Mega Disposal today. MEGA 866-420-MEGA, 866-420-6342. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. 846-1028 is our phone number. Hello to everyone on Facebook Live. Let's see. Juan, you look like Dr. Dre on the boards over there. I don't know if I get that. But anyhow, all right, 846-1028. Dr. Gorka is going to join us coming up at 3 o'clock on the John DePietro Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Tony Tanto, your fresh grocer, and this is your tip for the day. It's going to be on red potatoes. You know, the number one potatoes to make the potato salad and add so much different stews and soups. But you got to select and store red potatoes right. Otherwise, forget it. They're going to taste like cardboard, no matter what you do to them. When you select them, you want to make sure those red potatoes are nice and red, a bright red. That means that's the fresh crop. If they have that dull red color to them, that means they've been stored for way too long, and they're going to lose all their flavor and the nutritional value. You want to make sure they're free from any sprouting whatsoever, and the skin has to be nice and tight. When you bring them home, remember, they're boiling potatoes. Store them in the refrigerator. Now, they have some sugar to them, of course, so they're going to last maybe 5 or 7 days. Any longer than that, forget it. That's too long. And I'm Tony Tantillo, your fresh grocer. For some great recipes on red potatoes, just go to TonyTantillo.com.
You know, it's a great investment for your home is a new kitchen. Kitchen and Countertop Center of New England. Folks, there's nothing like them. It's Joe and Eddie, the dream team. New England's largest kitchen and bath design showroom. Are you thinking of a new kitchen? We did. It'll change your life. What an investment in your home. Kitchen and Countertop Center New England, the recognized leader in kitchen and bathroom design. Best selection. I was there this morning. 8,000 square feet. They're the largest. Largest showroom. New location. They're now located in Pawtucket. Easy to get to. Right off of 95. 125 Easton Avenue in Pawtucket. E-S-T-E-N. You can call the Kitchen and Countertop Center, or their website is kccne.com, but call Joe and Eddie, the Dream Team, at 736-0001. They are the best. One of the best decisions I ever made was we got a brand new kitchen from the Kitchen and Countertop Center of New England. I'll tell you, they are fantastic. Full kitchen and bath remodel. On top of that, 3,000 square feet as far as countertops, granite countertops, everything you need. It's the Kitchen and Countertop Center of New England, New England's largest kitchen and bath design showroom. New location. Call right now and schedule your free in-home consultation. I am one of their proudest customers. Call Joe and Eddie at KCCNE, 736-0001. 736-0001. They're now located in Pawtucket.
We were wrong, and we're much worse off without you.
Will he run again?
JP, come back.
Come on, Gump.
You can have your holiday tree. It ain't nothing like what these out-of-town kids are up to.
I don't know. I don't know if Chafee's going to come back. We want him to come back, folks. He can't stand Queen of Tolmundo. So is he going to come back? I mean, it would be a dream race to have him back in the race, Governor Gump, just for our sheer enjoyment. Make no mistake about it. It would be a disaster.
Can he come back?
If he were governor again.
How bad can it possibly be?
Well, it would get pretty bad.
We can go metric. If that's what makes you happy.
Yeah, we could go metric. Come on, Lane.
Jamie, come back.
Where's that dumpster?
And let me tell you, pal.
Not dumpster, gumpster. All right, it's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. Here I am. Next hour, your phone calls, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.